saw a couple of little typos in there. On page three, still referring to Sheriff Shooter.
Oh, we just.
Can't get rid of the chairmanship, can I?
I do the same thing with Board of Adjustments, don't worry about it.
It's just gonna follow you forever, man.
Okay, that was on page three. Are there any other recommended changes to minutes?
No, I don't find anything else.
Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed? Old business. We have a couple of different things. We have a discussion on grants available to town to for purposes of burying the power lines.
Before we do that.
Yes.
Move up the town home definition?
Oh.
Yeah, this.
Oh, okay, so we're.
They're here.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize. Sure, well, absolutely. Unless anybody objects, we'll go ahead and move agenda item number five up to number one, if that's okay?
Yes.
Sure.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize they were here for that, so. Okay, town home definition. This issue was tabled at February meeting. We've had several months of discussion on this. Some rather lively discussions about simple terminology and so forth. And so, obviously, we invited, homeowner and the attorney to come here and maybe chat about this, and I'm not sure if we have more information too, but maybe the starting point would be to, is it Terry? Terry, okay.
Yeah, Terry Randolph.
Terry, if you want to kind of maybe start us off and kind of set the framework, if that's okay, and introduce your.
This is Rob Paul. He's my attorney, and okay. I think he's somebody that most everybody knows, and it's probably got some business to work with. The issue is that as it stands currently, the two-unit condo arrangement is not something that you can get financing for. And I brought that to the board's attention back in February. I've been working on it on my other 906 on Fort Fisher since November of the previous year, 2008, actually all of 2009, with multiple lenders. And anytime we ever got to the point of the discussion of condo, it was always declined, period. That was the end of the conversation. Most of them, after the first couple rounds, would take place before we even got past just the lender's agent. And the reason for it is that the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac government regulations have limitations on the percentage of ownership in any single condo development that is limited to 30% by any particular owner. And with there being two units, we always are at 50%. And if anybody, and if you ever have an investor group that owns more than, or up to 30%, it makes it very difficult for the other 70%, in just a mortgage unit system, to be able to get financing on this as well. And so any of the owners that have these two unit properties in Terry Beach, because we're all classified as condos, rather than as townhomes or single family attached. And so what at the last meeting I brought this up to everybody, and then it was tabled, and I suggested I bring Robert and we would do some further study as well, and all have some conversation with Mr. Holt and John to try to identify what might be a reasonable suggestion for the county to consider in making some changes. We have found that having them classified as single family attached is the best terminology to use, and the definition of which would be townhomes, and it would be that you would have separately deeded dirt underneath the actual frame foundation of each of the two units to go with that unit size, with the balance of the property of 50 by 100 or 50 by whatever lot as being a common property governed by the HOA of the two-unit property. But the deeds would be for that dirt that lies directly below the foundation and each of the separate units themselves, and would be classified as a single-family attached And with that, it completely eliminates any of the friction in getting any financing, period. Because single family attached is not, I guess, determined to be the scourge of, you know, the real estate market, like condos are by Fannie and Freddie Mac, and so they don't have the same restrictions of pursuit ownerships and stuff like that as they do with condo. And so I had asked Robert to contact John and Mr. Holt and
Mr. Holt a lot.
I'm sorry. Mr. Moore.
But I'm sorry about that. You'll answer by
But anyway, I'm sorry, Mr. Moore. But anyway, we've had some conversation, and we have a proposed ordinance change, I suppose you call it, that we had forwarded to John yesterday, asking for his review. I mean, if there's something that's just a glaring problem, please tell us so that we have time, so we can make this meeting as fruitful for everybody as possible. I think, but I can't speak for John, but I think that there wasn't anything glaringly wrong about what we had suggested, because it was essentially exactly what I said. The dirt underneath the foundation and that was prescribed from that. And that's really it. Brought him here, as I promised, to answer any kind of technical questions. And, you know, as I said before, and stuff to John, and that's really it. That's all I have.
Holt, do you have anything to say?
I didn't really have anything additional. I didn't do anything, you know, beyond kind of what I presented over the last few meetings. And what this gentleman just described, you know, doesn't provide any glaring problems to me yet. The one thing
that... You can't copy that here, John.
I've got to provide you with a copy here real quick.
Robert emailed me something, and I'm not sure if that's the same thing John has looked at. It was just a plan.
Yes, well, while they're getting that, that's off the tape.
Okay.
That's off the tape. This is a copy. Before we get started, I had one quick question, because last time, we had a great discussion last time about some of these issues. Is the issue the term condo, can we simply change it and call it a duplex, for example? Or is the problem the deeded element of the land underneath that?
If the problem is the deeded element of the land underneath.
Okay.
All right. And I had actually, because we had discussed that, I had actually exercised that question several times. And the responses were, is this a true duplex? And I'm going, well, you've told me what a true duplex is. You have the land underneath the building, or is this a condo? It's two-unit condo, and you're calling them duplexes. And it always comes back to the deed. What does the deed look like? Is it the dirt underneath the building? Right, that is the most critical portion of solving this entire
thing. So it's not just a nomenclature issue. It's actually a deed issue.
Yes, okay.
That's one thing we weren't sure about last time.
And one of the things that John had mentioned while he's not here was the process. You know, that he would require that any homeowner that wanted this change to be made, that we would have to get an architect to approve that the minimum standards were being met for a townhome, which might be different. In fact, I think the firewall
is a big issue.
It's a big issue, and making sure that, you know, they met it, you know, and they met the minimum 2 hours, and if not, then, you know, they would have to be prior to him being able to sign off on things, and then we would have to be surveyed and recording and all that sort of stuff. None of which is going to be an inexpensive ordeal for any of the homeowners, but when they are faced with the alternative, which is you have no market for it. I mean, You know, I mean, you can't, I mean, in real, you can find a cash buyer for your unit, but anybody that has that much cash, you've got more than enough sense to know that they are the anomaly. And so they're not going to buy for cash something that they can't sell to somebody who can finance it. And so really, you're kind of locked out of the market no matter what.
Are there any questions? We'll wait for Tom.
Well, I'm just curious about, did this change just come around all of a sudden after the financial meltdown of Wall Street or something? Because I know all these duplexes or condos sold as they were being built. So is this something new?
The answer to the question is that yes. I mean, it's because very candidly, we have all this finance to walk over. And we didn't have any trouble. I mean, you know, we had to put 35% in because the marketplace was starting to deteriorate and all that sort of stuff. But it's been since then.
The long answer is no. They used to have these rules and they didn't quit enforcing them. So back when I first started practicing in the 70s and the 80s, every time anybody wanted to finance a condominium, the first thing they would do is get a set of the covenants and the plats, and they'd do these surveys to see the percentage ownership, and they just stopped enforcing those until real recently. And now all of a sudden, as you know, they're enforcing all the regs now to the letter of the law.
Well, one of the things that it sounds very logical. There are a lot of condos for sale. When I drive around Curie Beach, Carolina Beach, I see a lot of condos for sale. Why don't we have a horde of people out there asking for the same thing that you're asking for, if that's such an important issue?
Well, let me explain that, okay? What we have is a lot of properties for sale. What we don't have are any buyers, all right? I mean, you know, my neighbor two doors down from me on both sides have had their units for sale for years. And they're not getting nibbles, they're not getting inquiries.
But if they converted it to your definition of townhome, they would.
It's a two-step answer. All right, the reason why currently a seller may not even know that they have this problem is because they have financing already. Okay. And they're not right now pushed to the point where they have to refinance. Right? But most of these, or a lot of these that you see out here, are all 3 and 5 year ARMs, and they're going to start hitting these resets here for the next 7 years. And this is going to be something that you're going to get a lot of calls about. Since our meeting in February, John, in the last couple of weeks, has already received 4, 5, or 6 other homeowners asking about the very same issue. Okay, I just happen to be, I guess, the first canary.
And you're really not even the first. I've had calls like this over the past year and a half. It's just in the past couple of months the questions have grown. Or let's say, grown.
You know, but for instance, if my neighbors on each side of me had somebody who wanted to buy their unit, they would be back down here, the sellers would, asking for some relief on this very same issue. Because the buyers would be unable to buy it unless they were a cash buyer, okay? Because they can't get financing because they are classified as condo. And it's a two-unit condo is where the problem lies, because of the ownership percentage. And you'll never be able to divide two units and sell less than 30%. It's just not possible. That's the answer.
So from the aspect that the lending institution will want to know is that the property would have to be deeded as one lot with just the individual building. I mean, apparently you've got to do some zoning changes or something to make it easy for a person to get financing. So what does the town need to do to make that accessible and easy for people?
The printout that John is in really addresses that. But all it really amounts to is that the town
provide the change in the ordinance whereby the townhome or single-family attached is defined as a deeded property where it's the dirt plus the building on each side is deeded to a single owner.
If I may, the whole difference that we're talking about is not a density difference. We have all the same density. You can put the two units on a 50 by 100 lot. But instead of showing it as a condo, which you know in a condo, you own the airspace, in this new single-family attached, it's going to look like the old townhouses, a box within a box. So you've got the box for the perimeter of the property, and you've got a box in the center that's divided in half. Okay? So this is only going to work on the side-by-side condos. It will not work on the up-and-down condos. Okay? Since I don't think there's anything we can do about the up and the top and bottom condos. So it's basically, you think about it, it's just the way it's deeded. It's a box within a box. The two units, unit A, unit B, common area all around it.
There's a, and we do have a precedent. We have those in Curie Beach Village. You know, that sort of thing. It seems to me there would have to be a mechanism that would have to be part of the ordinance to convert something that was a condo into one. I mean, it's more than just a definitional issue, because it would have to be a conversion process, because if you have two attached single-family homes, then the individual owners would be responsible for the exterior part of that structure too, you know, which would be the roof, their part of the painting and all that sort of thing. But right now, in a condo, you don't. So you'd have other implications in terms of changing the homeowners association documents that might require, you know, some of those type of issues too, and in addition to simply a definition and then worry about firewall.
I agree 100%, but that's pretty much logistics, because the North Carolina Home Statute, Chapter 47C, which is the current condo regs, Chapter 47 is the old one, has a section in one of the final sections that has specifically how you dissolve a condominium.
Oh.
And that's part of the logistics in this process would be dissolving. You have to do it all simultaneously. You dissolve the condominium regime and then have new covenants and a new plat, duly approved, of course, and you would dissolve it, record your new plat, your new covenants, basically simultaneously. And then you would probably deed the units from the current owners to the current owners using the new description with, you know, type of paragraphs in there, like lawyers love to say, well, this used to be Chapter 47C condo, we dissolved the condominium, people own it, and we're deeding it this way to each other. So if there's a process for doing that. That's just the logistics that the homeowners are just going to have to bite the bullet.
And the process is defined by North Carolina statute.
Right, right.
Discussion, questions, comments? John, you have anything?
No, and what Robert's prepared here, I figured y'all probably want to change some things. So, I don't know if y'all want to go over that, or if you want to table this to the next meeting to go over everything. Or
I got a question about the single-family dwellings. Single-family attached development. Two to six single-family units constructed in a series or a group.
And that, was one of that was one of the things I noticed on. Did you just pick that out of the air?
No, actually, that's the ordinance that the town of Carolina Beach has. They're doing allowing you to do six of these. Like you see these townhouse units, and they'll have, you know, as many as four and sometimes six in a single building. And so I just kind of use that as a starting place, because up to four, you still have. You have the 25% is less than the 30%, so you're okay there, but I just thought I'd give it a little bit more breadth as a starting place. Because the people in the three units wouldn't work, and we don't have a whole lot of that I know of, the four and six units that aren't probably already townhouses.
If someone was putting, you know, that many townhouses on a single piece of land, that would probably be going through plenty of zoning anyway.
We do have a three-unit one on Third Street on the way up.
That's correct.
just think.
That's the only one I can think of.
Well, those aren't condos, so.
Well, isn't that okay for that to be a condo, because it's three separate units?
I mean, they're all okay.
Well, they're not, that only comes up to 90%.
And that'd still be over 30%.
To capture the minimum, you would want to make this ordinance cover three units as well, two and three unit properties. Because at four, you're perfectly fine at that point, but at three, it's just that you just have to make it just a wee bit up.
And I wanted to point out that in this section eight there, I had lifted some stuff out of the Carolina Beach ordinances, and I referred to an ordinance number 04558. Well, that was the Carolina Beach ordinance that they approved for townhouses, and so that should be stricken there. And this, I have a later version than this, and I had printed it out and left it on the printer as I rolled out the outside. My apologies.
How would we, you know, given that we would probably want to incorporate, not just simply reference the North Carolina process, but we probably want to incorporate the process here that would describe the procedure of, well, there'd have to be agreement, all the homeowners would have to come in and do things and go through the steps of dissolving, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What would be the best way to, if we wanted to go in this direction, you know, I mean, this is a good definitional thing, but we still need to have a process as part of the ordinance, I think, to do that. What's the best way? I mean, one, would we require to talk about the process, or could we do it simply by reference? And what's the best place to put that sort of stuff?
That is a good question, because I mean, I guess what you run into, you know, we've talked about this before some, is that, you know, a lot of that would be done by the attorneys, the real estate attorneys for the owners. You know, the owners would decide they want to do that, and they would go find Mr. Calder or someone like that and say, here's what we want to do. We now have a condominium, we want to convert it. You know, the town would approve that. But the town, it's I guess it's a little tricky on deciding how much the town wants to get involved and say, how do you do that? And I think what we may want to do is just, and I'm not sure, I really hadn't looked at it. This is the first time I've seen this at all, and so I'm not really prepared to fully address that. But it may just be that we leave it up to them to do that, and then we just bring it in and, you know, review it. Because it's hard to give them a recipe, you know, that we kind of could get ourselves hung up a little bit, potentially.
I really don't think there's a need for us to have some sort of protocol that has to be followed for this type of situation. It's like Mr. Calder was just saying, the general statute's already covering how they're going to have to do it, and there's no way that they're going to be able to do it without all the property owners participating in it. And when the plat is brought to me to sign in order for it to be registered with the deeds, I mean, that's what I'd do in my review. I don't know how much more of a, I don't know how we would even establish
a review. Maybe a general reference that, you know, a conversion consistent with North Carolina general statutes, you know, that talks about that would be, but I think something more general than.
Well, I would think you'd have to have something to, I mean, obviously, John, you're going to get legal documents from attorneys. There's going to be a cost incurred by the town because it's going to have to go to either Andy or Paul to review all of these documents. So
there's going to be a fee associated.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of, I mean, if you have just an application and review fee, that would cover, I mean, the process. Because the town's going to incur costs on it.
Some sort of a conversion. Part of the ordinance would be a conversion process.
So are y'all saying that you'd like to review the, do you want the town to review the legal documents?
Well, the town shouldn't they?
Well, I don't know. Is the town concerned about the legal documents concerning the HOA, or more concerned about whether or not they're subdividing the lot?
What's the down? We've been talking about the positives. What's the downside of doing that? Because as I'm thinking, and in fact, I'm going to talk about Senate Bill 44 later on, the quasi-judicial requirements now as of January 1st that we haven't spent a lot of time talking about, that, you know, whenever you have a change of this, I mean, even though it sounds pretty trivial in the sense it's going to look exactly the same sort of thing, is it something that creates maybe a downside that we would need to get, you know, hold, have a hearing, you know, let adjacent property owners have a say if they wanted to in this, or is it so trivial that it's just something that can be done with a rubber stamp? I mean, I'm trying to think of any downsides. I see positives, but I'm trying to think of any downsides of this.
I mean, in my opinion, I think it's pretty trivial. Basically, it is pretty much the same thing, other than you've got a box within a box, as Mr. Calder said. You've got two deeded pieces of land that's inside of another piece of land. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only difference. You know, your HOA docs are pretty much going to be the same as far as I know, except for referencing townhouse instead of condominium. And you've got your HOA, you know. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. There's no way that they're going to be able to sell off half of this lot or half of that lot. You know, it's what's there is there, and that's the way it's going to be.
Well, and this is, I guess, partly a question that maybe, Robert, you can answer. Isn't it that with a condominium that you have ownership of the, like, the outside areas, the external walls and things like that, right. And then with this arrangement, that would not be the case, perhaps, that you would own your own exterior walls up to the midpoint.
Oh, that's exactly right.
So that's where I think it would be tough to anticipate all the things that might creep out of that as that changes, that something could go wrong and say, well, I used to own this, but now I own this, and something has gone wrong somewhere in the timeline. You know, so whose responsibility is it? Things like liability concerns, I think, would be my answer to the downside. And then going back and say, well, what, you know, whenever that is, you just, you know, the attorney throw everything in the wall, the town, the real estate attorney, the association. That's where I think, and the more responsibility you take on, arguably, the higher the potential.
Because a lot of that, as you talk about, would be protected under fairly strong HOA covenants and restrictions. You know, in terms, just like over in Three Beach Village, where the very, very strict, you know, I mean, if your roof is bad, you know, you got to fix it, and, you know, the HOA is going to come in if you don't fix it, and it has to be new roofs every 10 years, stuff like that. That's all specified by the HOA. I could see in a conversion like this, if we don't look very carefully at it, you might have very different type of HOA covenants and requirements. You might have one conversion that might be very, very weak that would actually allow people then to not do anything, not paint the outside of their house or whatever, where other ones may be very strict in terms of like the Curie Beach Village. So, it, again, I'm just trying to throw out some ideas of where you might have some downsides.
And I guess just kind of being devil's advocate, that's what I mean, I'm just totally hypothetical, but say there was a, you know, a mold problem or something, mm-hmm. and you couldn't really determine, you know, did it happen when it was a condominium or a townhouse, and that depends who owned it, you know. And I never wanted to be like an unhelpful bureaucrat, but then at the same time, you can get in a position where we didn't orchestrate this conversion, you know. We just said, for the benefit of the public, it's okay to come in and change it. But it really, arguably, the responsibility should be on those that have put it all together, you know. And we just make sure that it apply with the new definition, you know.
And if I may, and I'll be happy to copy the part of the statutes that show the dissolution. I believe in all the two unit, and I have to go back and refresh my memory on it, but it's going to require the approval of the owners, and the owners are going to have to decide among themselves at that point whether they want to go with having the HOA do the exterior maintenance and landscaping and stuff like that, or whether they're going to want each unit owner to do their own stuff like that. So the owners will have approved it. So
sure.
You will have made it possible for them to do this, but they will have approved it. So, you know, it's hard to see where they could come back and complain to Terry and me and y'all for having started this process.
Well, if John, for instance, has an application they apply to do this, to pay a fee to do it, that should put the burden back in their department, right?
Yeah, I would actually...
From a legal perspective?
When it goes back, you made the question about, well, do we incorporate in the statute anything about dissolving the condo? And I think I would probably include in there, and that's a really good point, a requirement that the condominium be duly dissolved prior to the... conversion to the single family attached. And that way there's no, some of the problems that Holt, as all good lawyers do, dreams up, could be ameliorated by the fact that we've required to dissolve the condo. And so you don't have to necessarily watch this being done, I wouldn't think, but it's a statutory, you know, ordinance requirement, and the lawyers would be required to do that before they could record the plat. And you could possibly, even if you wanted to, as part of their approval process for the new single family attached, you'd have to have an affidavit that at the time new covenants and plat are recorded, and the condominium will be duly dissolved. It means you wouldn't have to oversee it, and it's not something you need to write in the ordinance, but it would be one of the checklist of things that are required in the approval process.
Just one other thing that kind of strikes me. If this conversion is allowed and you convert it to a town with deeded property underneath, it increases the value of that. I mean, that's why we're doing it, because then you can sell it and it can increase the value. Would there be a problem then of having it reassessed for tax purposes? Because more than likely the value would go up. I mean, that's why people are going to do this, because they're going to convert it to increase the value, because it has a larger market.
As it sits right now, if we reassess these properties, they all have a zero value. Okay? There is no value to them, except for the value of the dirt itself, because you cannot sell the condominiums. And so there's no market value for them. As it, and I think they're going to be doing a revaluation in 2011 anyway. I believe this is when this was built, 2010 at the time.
I'm not sure.
But it's coming soon anyway. Having them revalued, I mean, I don't think anybody would mind that or have a problem with it. I certainly wouldn't. In fact, I would think that the value of my property, like most anybody's here on the beachfront anyway, has gone down since the last valuation of property here on the island, just because of the market conditions. But where it sits right now is that the value of these properties is outside of the land is zero, because you can't finance them. There's no market for it. I think it's important that the committee keep that in mind. You know, that in trying to find the right way to have everything work out and try to predict so many of the unintended consequences. You know, like for instance, if you don't have an HOA, just as a homeowner's perspective, okay? If you don't have an HOA, and in the HOA it doesn't say that there's going to be consistency in the color of the front, sides, back, and the front doors are going to be the same color. All right? And they, you know, and they have to be agreed to by the two owners. And if you don't have that, I mean, none of us want to have candy-striped houses, you know, up and down the beachfront, all because, you know, somebody wants pink next to, you know, orange or something. I mean, that would just be an eyesore. But none of us really are interested in having to participate in permitting to perpetuate itself. Having the disillusionment of the current HOA, or covenants of a condo, that needs to all be done at the very same time as recording the new deeded property under the definition of single family attached. Because if you permit there to be a two-step process whereby you let me dissolve the condo situation, okay, and you don't have right with it that comes to John for approval, the paperwork that shows that we have already, in fact, consistent with this. I'm just bringing to you all the stuff. Prior to me going to the lawyer and having him finalize everything, obviously John will have to be conferred with it to make sure everybody's crossing their T's and dotting their I's properly from the city's perspective. I would go back to the attorney. The attorney would dissolve the condo situation and redeed the other property. It would cost the homeowners probably... With with legal fees and, the all the other different services you have to, probably $4,000, $5,000 to do this process without any extra fee from the city, which, depending on what you think is appropriate, but, I would think, several hundred dollars as a fee, $200-$400 might be appropriate for the homeowners to have to pay for something like this as well. Because it's going to take time away from John. As the pile of these grow over the course of the next 2 or 3 years, it's going to run a bell curve on him. And there's going to be times when he's going to have a lot more to do than just look at these things as well.
Let's kind of open up for any discussion. My opinion is I'm all for. I mean, I haven't heard anything real downside here. It seems to be that it's just kind of upside issues of I think preserving value. Accommodating the condo owners right now if they wish to do this. I think it seems like a fairly it could be. If it's written properly, it seems like a relatively trivial process to put upon the part of the city. Now, again, as you point out, it's more expensive for the homeowner, but from the city perspective, it seems like if everything is kind of written properly in the ordinance, it seems like a relatively simple thing to do. I think it also creates a sense of pride of ownership. I own condos, I own townhomes at Curie Beach Village, and I own single-family homes. And I have to admit, just personally, I have a little more satisfaction owning the townhome than I do a condo because I have a sense of ownership of the land that sits underneath it. So I can appreciate exactly what sort of things you have to say. I think that what we need to do is figure out the best way to write this into an ordinance, given some of the issues that you've talked about, without making it too complex, but making sure that we don't fall into any problems. Any other comments?
Sounds good. How do we address it? Well, actually, a couple of things. This addresses what we talked about, side-by-side condos, but we've got quite a few up and down. So what happens to those? We've just made accommodations for all the condos, all the duplexes that are side-by-side. The people who have them up and down can't sell theirs now.
I think they're kind of stuck because it'd be hard to deed underneath it if you're on the second floor. Maybe stock as condos.
Yeah, I've thought about it, since I started this process, but I haven't been able to come up with a reasonable accommodation for them.
Can they be defined as duplexes, though? See, we've got a couple of terms here. Duplex, we now have another term, residential single-family attached. To me, that's a duplex, but, we got to get all these definitions straight. So could we allow up and down to be called a duplex? And have a definition of what that is, and I guess create another definition for a single-family attached dwelling, and then what a condo is.
Well, I think last
and a townhouse, because we really got that down. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I think what we were talking about last time, I think some of I know I was working under kind of the assumption that it was a definitional problem, not a deed ownership problem. I think you've clarified it right now. It's a deed ownership issue, which is the key issue, not calling it some other thing besides a condo. In which case, regardless, I think, of what you call these up and downs, if they don't have deed ownership, they're still going to be stuck under the condo financing problems.
There is a new development downtown there on Front Street where I think they have done a division of airspace, and that's a I don't know whether any of the lenders are going to be smart enough to understand it. But, and I haven't looked at the formative documents on it, but just thinking, because I have been thinking, how do we handle these people? They bought the airspace above the ground. It's there between Water Street and Front Street. There's a new development there. Some more luxury condos downtown that they haven't been able to sell any yet. If you walk through them, you'd understand why, but they actually bought the land above the parking space downstairs, which stayed in somebody else's ownership. And so I could go back and look at the formative statutes, possibly, and see how they divided that. And if that was something that would fit into a statute where you could say, you own the air above this, I don't know whether I'm just going to understand that, but...
That sounds like a What happens if some of that air leaks out by breathing?
Don't breathe my air.
With these upstairs and downstairs condo situations, I don't know, because I haven't looked at them, but don't they have parking garages?
That's exactly where I was getting ready to.
And so if that's the case, you can deed the dirt underneath that parking garage. Okay, and it'd be for upstairs, and the dirt under this one would be for this one right here, right? And divide it according to something where there is genuine ownership, because if you're in the one downstairs and you park in my garage, you know, I would be a little bothered by it if the weather's bad. So there's a definite ownership of it, and I think that might in fact be the way, again, just as this other is. I mean, and really and truly the way my property is, and I think most of them are, is that there's a common wall that runs between the garages, essentially. There might be a hallway or something like that, but that garage section downstairs divides the building in half. And that would still be the case with the upstairs downstairs. I would presume it's going to be.
You know, there is an opening on this committee that you could.
I'll get you an application.
I'd love an application, come tomorrow.
My other question, John Dean mentioned that, well, and also we got the letter from, was it Mr. Yoder?
Yoder,
yeah. It's been a while since I read the letter. Wasn't he concerned with insurance? Wasn't his an insurance issue, trying to get his
insurance?
Does this solve his problem too?
Yeah, I think so, because his gripe was that they've got three different insurance policies between two owners. They've got the insurance policy for the building itself, got the insurance policy for side A and then side B.
That could still be his case, depending on how they write up the association.
That could be, that's correct.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you get around that if you have the common area yard, because that's going to be number three with the other, you know, two parts of the building being one and two.
Well, Mr. Yoder is also an insurance agent, if I remember correctly, and that was definitely one of his things, was that, you know, why can't I call this a townhouse? If I call it a townhouse, and it is a townhouse, it would be much simpler for me and my insurance. I can try to find out about that and bring it back to you next month.
My understanding of that is I contacted Pleasure Island Insurance. A girl named Amy down there who's excellent. About this, and you can eliminate the third insurance policy if you have townhomes or single family attached, and just have one on each property. Okay, but it's still advisable. Not mandatory as it is with condos. It's still advisable for you to have a third one, okay, to manage for the HOA. Now, the cumulative cost of the three when it's this way is less expensive than it is with condos. Right? But it's a marginal.
In fact, you'd say in a townhome, that what are the three that you would be talking about when you have a deeded property underneath?
When you have a deeded property, you would just have one for unit A and one for unit B.
Okay, and then one for
and,
the... Okay.
And that's all you have.
But the individual owner would just be involved with the payment,
right,
too.
Right.
It would be
and,
for their side.
You only have to have
sharing it. Sharing the HOA, okay.
You only have to have it. But she said it's still advisable, although not required, that you have a third one, you know, for just the general, especially if you have, you know, a swimming pool or whatever, or decks and things like that. It's just advisable, but it's not required, is all. But with condo, it's required. You have to have all three. I mean, getting contents, and then for the building itself.
Is there anybody on the committee that would like to take the lead on maybe looking at where to insert language? I mean, we've heard a lot of recommendations in terms of, we got some language here that we may want to, you know, have something that talks about referencing the process by which somebody can do a conversion. Get some language in there on that. Identify what the fee would be and where that would be put in the ordinance and those type of things. And that John would approve it. You know, there's a number of different things that probably different places in the ordinance that we would have to have to try to be able to kind of address these issues. So I just want to know if anybody wants to take a lead on that. Yes?
As a suggestion, and I mentioned this to John the other day, it might be a better, or not a better, I don't want to say it that way. We run out of the building. But it might be a different way of approaching it, is if I was to, at my expense, have Robert go ahead and do all of that legwork for the committee, right? And present something, and then y'all find the holes, find the mistakes, find the problems. It's a whole lot easier, possibly, for the committee to be able to do that, okay, rather than having to start from scratch and build it yourselves. We can go ahead and build what we think is meeting y'all's requirements and interests and all that. And y'all shoot holes in it, and we go back and we fill in and fix and do until it's satisfactory to the committee. And then, you know, we can make a formal presentation or whatever y'all do to move things along. I don't mind doing that.
Well, that's a very kind offer. Does anybody object to that offer?
No, I think I'd like to take on the project and not the
No, I think that would be excellent. And I think what we're looking for is specifically where in the Kiri Beach ordinances we would need to have language that would address all the issues that we've talked about in terms of, you know, I think what you've written up here, the issue of the cost associated with it, who it would have to be given to for the process, you know, John, for example, you know, that it has to be done simultaneously at the same time, you know, whatever language would be appropriate out of the North Carolina statute as well as referencing the North Carolina statute. I mean, certainly if you wanted to come forth understanding kind of the discussion and concerns that we've already had with a specific proposal that we can look at and kind of debate, maybe vote upon, I don't think anybody here would disagree with that, would they?
No.
Not at all.
And that was one of the reasons why we decided, and we talked with John and several other people about, you know, the easiest way to do this without having to go through and comb the entire thing, find how to change the duplex or townhouse to start with something new we're calling single family attached, because basically we have a new ordinance that we add into your building, into your code, and we can put into it the fees. You'll have to tell me what the fees are going to be. I think $25 or $30, whatever it's going to be. And you know, and
I'm going to charge $25, $30, right?
That's just what I'm thinking about here, Sean.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's other communities that have similar things, so whether it would be a new subchapter in an existing shower, or you're trying to kind of put it in all different places, you know, maybe just simply put it all in one simple kind of a brand new subchapter or something.
I thought that would be the easier way to do it, but I'll go through all the ordinances now, of course. And,
okay. Because sure there would be some language changes, obviously, throughout the whole ordinance, because you know we're adding a new definition of an attached, you know, single family house and that sort of thing. So we may have to add other elements throughout the whole ordinance, the planning documents and everything, because now we have a new definition for a residential house.
Right. That's like that section 8 at the end there. That was kind of something I took the idea from the Carolina Beach when they provided for them in 04. They amended the existing housing types, and they had a list of them, and they had a new one, and that was for townhomes for them, but it would be for single family attached for us. But I'll have to go through and see where all those others are defined and all that stuff.
What do you think of an appropriate fee would be?
I think we probably have to think about it. I think probably talking to, maybe you should think about it, Chuck. It sounds like you're going to be doing most of it. What do you think would be a fair fee?
Well, we need to figure out what if we're what
you're doing.
Condo docs, or what am I going to be reviewing exactly?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're at least going to be doing redoing the surveys and that stuff.
And also, if we decide if somebody else needs to look at it besides you, older, 10 years, somebody needs to look at it too. That's another person comes in.
Yeah, you might. So, I mean, just maybe think about it for a month. And would you plan on coming back next month with something, you think?
Sure.
I mean, we work on monthly cycles, so.
April 6th is the meeting.
April 6th? Mm-hmm. That's a Tuesday.
It's
first Tuesday. Yeah, I'll be here for sure. It's
and when would you want to have things to get into agenda?
I need it the Tuesday before.
Tuesday before.
April 6th?
Yeah, but whatever you have would have to be...
And we're forgetting the agenda.
To get into the agenda would have to be the week before that.
Oh, well, how long will it take?
Like March...
That's 30th.
30th, yeah, March 30th.
Okay, March 30th.
Technically, you have the month of March.
Oh, yeah, okay, I mean, I...
By March 30th, we'd like to have what has really been a very thorough review.
And what you would recommend.
Right, yeah, so that if, and so, in the interim, there's going to be, I will ask Robert to make a lot of, you know, suggestions and send to Holt and John, whatever, so that we get a lot of feedback on that, earlier than later.